It's time to join the American family Robinson again in Birch Falls, or rather, half the family, for Luke these days is absent without leave. Being typed the ideal husband for the benefit of his radio fans and the Emporium customers finally proved more than Luke could bear. And now he's left Myra, the erstwhile ideal wife, for parts unknown. Gus Poppelmeyer, the Emporium's big competitor in the dry goods business, has taken a new lease on life because of the Robinson separation. Since Wendy and Aunt Agatha can no longer capitalize on their title of ideal couple to publicize the Emporium, Gus expects a new era in his business. In fact, Gus firmly believes that now his store will get all the trade. But as we look in on Twink Pennybacker this afternoon, things don't seem to be too dark for the Emporium. At least there are two customers in the store, Mrs. Hotchkiss and Mrs. Rowbottom, who are in front of the novelties and notions counter. Let's listen.
That's tight enough, Mrs. Hotchkiss, don't you think?
Yep, I guess it ought to be. Now what do I do, Miss Pennybacker?
Oh, look here, Susan, look at the simply wonderful grapefruit.
Oh, just a minute, Ellen. I'm making a sort of an experiment here.
Now, just pull that little knob, Mrs. Hotchkiss. Oh, excuse me, Mrs. Robotham, I'll be right with you.
Oh!
Oh, for heaven's sake, Susan, what on earth are you standing there ringing that clock?
Oh, Miss Pennybacker, Miss Pennybacker, what do I pull now?
Oh,
mercy. There ain't no doubt about it being loud enough, is there?
Susan, for pity's sake, I didn't think you were in your dotage. How much is these grapefruit knives, young lady?
I'm just trying to find one that's loud enough for Henry, that's all.
17 cents, Mrs. Roebuck, and that's a special just for this week.
Well, I'll take one. Susan Hotchkiss, with that infernal thing, you're going to wake up everybody in the neighborhood.
Can't help it if I do. Henry's been late to work 3 times in the last 2 weeks. It's got to stop.
Better have him late to work than scare him to death.
Well, I always say that if a man's all fired lazy...
Oh, thanks, young lady.
That's 17 out of a quarter. Here's your change, Mrs. Roebuck.
Well, now, as I was saying, if a man is that lazy...
Oh, will that alarm clock do, Mrs. Hotchkiss? Do you think it's loud enough?
Well, as I was just about to say... Yes, I suppose it'll do. Wrap it up, Miss Pennybacker, and charge it.
You ain't had no word from Luke yet, have you, young lady?
No, Mrs. Rathbun. Mr. Robinson hasn't written yet. We don't even know where he is.
Well, I do declare. I never have expected it from a man like Luke Robinson, just running out flat and deserting a poor girl like Myra. And them supposed to be the ideal married couple.
Terrible.
And the way that Mr. Poppelmeyer's taken advantage of them separating, just to try to take the customers away from the Emporium, that ain't no better.
Well, here's one he ain't taken away. No, sir. I'm keeping right on doing my trading at the Emporium, just to show Myra Robinson I'm thinking of her.
A lot of women seem to feel that way, Mrs. Hotchkiss. Business hasn't been at all bad today.
And Susan, you're right. It's the least we can do for poor Myra to keep on patronizing the Emporium.
That's very kind of both of you.
Oh, not at all. You don't need to thank nobody, Miss Pennybacker. I think us women ought to stick together, and it'll at least be a comfort to Myra in her hour of trial to know there's such a thing as loyalty left in the world, even if her husband ain't shown much of it.
Well, husbands is just another thing us women's got to put up with in a hard world.
And in the meantime, suppose we look in at Aunt Agatha's parlor and see how things are with Luke's deserted spouse. There's Myra now, seated at Aunt Agatha's big mahogany desk, trying to prepare her script for this afternoon's radio broadcast. Let's listen.
Here, Myra. Pin me up and back, will you?
Oh, dear. I can't do it, Aunt Agatha. I just can't do it.
What's that? Say, what in tarnation's got into you, Myra Robinson?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I meant my radio program. I just can't seem to face it.
Nonsense. Here now, take these and pin me up, and no more fuss about it.
All right. Turn around. Oh, dear. I've got to be on the air in an hour, and I haven't a line written.
Well, if you get your mind off Luke for a minute, you'd be able to write something.
How can I get my mind off him when he may need me? Oh, Aunt Agatha, how do I know he isn't lying sick somewhere? How do I know he's even alive?
Fiddlesticks. Myra, I wish you tried to get your mind on something pleasant. Look on the bright side of life.
There isn't any bright side of life anymore.
Oh, yes, there is. There is for the Emporium, anyhow. Business has been great, in spite of Luke's running off.
I suppose I ought to be grateful. Nothing makes any difference to me anymore. Life just isn't worth living without Luke. Hold still, Aunt Agatha.
You ought to be glad to be getting a vacation from him once in a while.
Life is just empty. It's futile without him. That's the way I feel.
I know what you are. You're a futilitarian.
A futilitarian?
Mm-hmm, that's right. That's a word some fella made up the other day. Fits you perfect.
Well, I'm not a something or other.
Oh, yes, you are. You're just like it said in the paper. You think everything is so darn futile.
Well, it is.
Well, you ought to be ashamed to admit you think so. Right now, especially. These ain't no times for folks to be futilitarians.
Well, I've got good reason to be one.
There ain't nobody ever got good reason to think things are futile. That their problems are just too big to be handled. Nobody, Myra, no matter how big the problems get.
Well, I didn't say my problems were too big to be handled, Aunt Agatha.
Oh, yes, you did. And that's just exactly why I said you were a futilitarian. You're just like a lot of folks who think the problems this country's got to buck up against are too big to handle. So they lie down and quit. They say there ain't no chance for progress anymore. So what's the use? They might as well quit trying.
I didn't say I was quitting.
Well, you were squawking, and that's just as bad. The folks that do all the squawking about the troubles of a home or of a whole democracy getting too big to even try to overcome, well, they sure ain't doing much to help. They just make things worse by moaning.
Well, you're right there, Aunt Agatha. But
you bet your life I'm right. It's doing something about problems that counts, Myra. Getting up on your hind legs and fighting. There's plenty of chances for progress in this country. Only you got to get out and find them. That's the only thing that'll make opportunities in this or any other country. You got to do something, or you'll never do away with your troubles.
That's the only thing that will do away with troubles in a family. You're right.
Now you're talking, Myra. Don't complain. Do something about it.
Well, you're not going to get a chance to call me a futilitarian anymore, Aunt Agatha. I'll promise you that.
Oh, that's the girl, Myra.
No more squawking for me. And from now on, I'm going to act.
Good. And the sooner you start, the better.
I'm going to start right now. I'm going to prepare my radio broadcast. And believe me, it's going to have a real purpose in it.
What purpose?
Just you wait and listen.
And while Myra prepares her radio program, let's look in on Luke as he stands at the desk of the Hotel Regal talking to Mort, the clerk.
No, sorry, Mr. Robinson, there isn't any mail.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't had any mail since you checked in, have you?
No, Mort. I guess that's because nobody knows where I am.
Yeah, well, what I say is, if you want to get letters, you got to write them, huh?
Yeah. Won't argue with you there. Well, if you want to write letters, you've got to have somebody to write to.
Or else kick. And kick plenty hard. What? That's the way Coach Richie Daniels...
Now what the dickens?
...this game of football.
What's that?
And now, out there on plant field, the Panthers are just about to take that alternative and kick. And we've got our fingers crossed. It's going to be blind luck and...
Yeah. Sorry, Mr. Robinson.
Say, what in the dickens have you got that radio on the desk for?
Well, I just like to listen in between check-ins. You know? Oh. It's only a little portable, but... Sometimes when it gets bumped or anything, you know, like me kicking it, then it sort of blares out.
Well, let's see. Maybe it's a bum tube.
Well, no, don't think it's that. See, it works all right.
Doctors and Yanchanis back. Venislavsky in the blocking position.
Oh, the great American game.
Yeah. The double wing back formation. Ball goes to Coxus. He's running wide around left end. Perfect blocking out in front. He's picking up 5 yards. Sidesteps Teacher's halfback, heading to the sideline.
Oh, hey, my sainted hand. Turn the thing down. Turn it.
What's that?
Turn it down.
And he's hit by Jones, Duffy Jones, that great fullback for the Golden Blue. Coxus was hit right on the, let's see, the 42 on that play. Picking up 10, 11, yes, 12 yards for the State University. A first down for the Panthers. And oh, how they did need it. First and 10 on their own 42-yard line. Boys are back in the huddle now. Tuffy Jones goes over there getting a few slaps to the back from his teammates.
Yeah. Hear that better?
If you've got to listen to it, I guess that's all right.
Oh, no, I don't have to listen to it. Don't you like football, Mr. Robinson?
I like it fine. I like it fine when I'm feeling good.
Oh, you don't feel so good, huh?
No.
Gee, I'm sorry. I'll turn it off altogether.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Oh, say, Mort, what time is it?
Time? Yes, 26 minutes past 5, Mr. Robinson. Say, look, can I get you anything? A little bicarbonate of soda?
No, maybe? No. But you might turn the radio on.
Yeah, turn it on, but you just said...
I know I did, but I just remembered a certain program on from 5:15 to 5:30. I thought I might like to hear the last few minutes of it.
Yeah, well, all right. Anything you say.
Here, just let me at it. I know just where to find it.
What station you want?
WINK at Birch Falls. Let's see. 10, 6. There we are.
I'm proud to tell you that I've seen the light. I don't mind saying I've changed my mind about the best way to keep a husband happy.
Oh, yeah, that's no good. That's some dame. We better get the
quiet, Mort. Keep it on. I want to hear this.
From now on, I think the motto of all us wives should be, let's leave our husbands alone. In fact, why shouldn't we simply be ourselves and allow our husbands to be themselves, too? I'm frank to confess I made a great mistake concerning my dear husband, Luke.
Gee, for Pete's sake, Mr. Robinson, what do you want to listen to that hooey for? It's one of them mush programs.
I know. It's quiet. I tell you, I want to hear it.
I forced him to do a lot of things that he didn't want to. Instead of allowing him to sit peacefully by his own fireside with his slippers on. So, ladies, heed my warning, and don't try to make your husband into something that he doesn't want to be.
Yeah, what does she know about it? I bet she hasn't even got a husband. My dear husband.
Quiet,
and now I see that my time is about up. So, in parting, let me remind you that this is Myra Robinson, your home counselor, signing off until next week. Same time, same station. Don't forget, ladies, if you have any domestic problems, just write them to me, and you will get a prompt answer in a plain envelope. Good night, and thanks very much.
Holy mackerel, what a voice. Myra Robinson. Luke, my...
Mort.
Hey.
Mort.
Look, is that you? Is that Dame your...
What? Have you got some stationery down here? Oh, would you give me a sheet of paper and an envelope? Will you, quick?
Sure, Mr. Robinson. But I thought you said you didn't have anybody to write to.
Well, I just found out how wrong I was, and it's high time I was catching up on my correspondence.
What will happen to that letter Luke is going to write? Will it bring these two together again? If he does go home, will he find things as ideal as he expects them to be? Be sure to listen to our next program, and until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Marjorie Bartlett and Douglas Silver, and presented by the National Industrial Council.